Well, did everybody have a good Thanksgiving? Yes. Did anybody eat turkey? Yes. Anybody eat ham? Yeah, the Thanksgiving feast is always good. But you know, actually, we should be, sometimes some people only think of thanks and gratitude at Thanksgiving time, but we should live a life of thanksgiving. God's been so good to us. Amen. You know, I want to talk this morning, let the weak say I'm strong. And I want to look at what the Apostle Paul had to say. You know, I think he's a good one to look after. Philippians 4:13, we all know it. It's Miss Lynette's favorite, and we all know this scripture, probably quoted all the time. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, I want to read that from several different other versions. The Amplified Classic version: I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. And the Contemporary English says, Christ gives me strength to face anything. Darby translation, I have strength for all things in him that gives me power. The Phillips says, I'm ready for anything through the strength of the one who lives in me. The Disciples literal translation, I can do all things by means of the one strengthening me. And last, the Message version says, whatever I have, wherever I am, I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. I want you to notice that all of these scriptures are referring to being strong in Christ. It refers to being strong in the face of every negative report. It refers to being strong when you're going through all sorts of circumstances and situations. It wants us to be strong even when the enemy is trying to mentally and emotionally take us down. You know, actually, let's just say it like this. God will help me to be strong in any and every situation that I face. No matter what's happening, I am still strong in the Lord. That's probably the essence of the way we would say it in 2021. You know, but you have to learn how to be strong and satisfied and happy where you are at the present time. So many people are looking for tomorrow that they never enjoy today. And some people say, well, it's a troublesome time. Well, if you will realize that in the trouble, you can still be joyful and happy. Someone has said, I don't know who said it, but I think it's a good statement. If you're not happy where you are, you won't be happy when you get to wherever it is that you want to be. That's a pretty good statement. I better read that again because only about half of you were nodding your head at me. So maybe I need to read that for you again. If you're not happy where you are, you won't be happy when you get to wherever it is that you want to be. You know? Now, let's look at the man Paul, the Apostle Paul. He faced many different circumstances and situations in his life. And, you know, we understand this scripture, but the context of this scripture will give us a better understanding if we jump back up here to verse 10 and 11 and 12. In the New King James, it says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned, I want you to listen to that. I have learned in whatever state I'm in to be content. I know how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I learned both to be full and to be hungry, to be bound and to suffer." Now, what Paul actually is saying here is he's not happy for the circumstance or the situation, but he has learned how to be happy in the Lord in every situation. How many understand what I'm saying to you? You know, let's read the Message version. "I'm glad in God, far happier than you would ever guess. Happy that you're again showing such strong concern for me. Not that you ever quit praying and thinking about me. You just had no chance to show it. Actually, I don't have a sense of needing anything personally. I've learned how to be quite content, whatever my circumstance. I'm just as happy with little as I am much, with much as little. I've found the recipe for being happy, whether full or hungry, hands full or hands empty." Now, if you do some study, you'll find out that the Philippian church was one of the few churches that really helped support Paul. They sent him gifts many times. They were very grateful for what the message that he had brought to them, and they were continually praying for him, encouraging him, and giving gifts. But Paul states that there have been times when he didn't have enough, and there have been times when he had plenty. But it never changed his attitude. It never changed his confession. It never changed how he looked at God, because he knew that God was the sustainer and that God would bring him through the situation no matter what it was. You know, we don't like to realize it, but Paul states there were times that he didn't have enough and there were times he had plenty. We don't like to hear this because we're always believing for the abundance. But I want you to understand that all of us, myself included, have been in times when we didn't have very, very much. I lived it with my dad when I was from about the middle of my third grade year till about the eighth grade year or ninth grade year, I guess it was, before we ever began to see some abundance. But we kept, you know, we were just as happy believing God, trusting God. No, the circumstances weren't that good, but my dad would always say, "Hey, look, I don't care how negative things get, we always need to stay positive and realize that there is somebody that's worse than we are, and we need to pray for them." That was him. Hey, even though we were in need ourselves, he said, we got to realize, hey, even though we're here, there's somebody that's not as good as we are, so let's pray for them. Instead of praying, "Lord, bless me, Lord, help me," he said, "Let's pray for them." He always told me, he said, "Don't ever pray, 'God, bless me.' Pray, 'God, make me a blessing.'" That was the way he was. But you see, I learned how to live in these situations and still keep the attitude, hey, God is more than enough, even though I didn't have enough. God is still more than enough. See, that's where you need to learn to say, even when you're in weakened condition, you need to say, "I'm strong. I'm strong." Why? Because you're in Christ. Amen. You know, learn that no matter what the situation, God will supply all of your needs. That's down in that's 419 down there. See, we need to keep in mind that even though at the very moment we don't have enough, but there's plenty coming. Come on now. If you can't be happy about that, something's matter with you. No, you're not happy for your situation. You're not happy for what's going on, but you're happy because, and you're peaceful because you know what's coming. See, we've got to quit looking at the circumstance and begin to look at what's coming to us, because that's what the Bible says. Come on. You know, Paul said here, you know, he was the man that talked more about faith than anybody, but he said, hey, there were times when I didn't have much. There were times when I didn't have as much to eat as I needed. But he said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Come on now. See, that comes, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, comes after he talks about not having as much. Y'all still here? You're going home. See, the question is, we need to realize, are we in the middle of our worst circumstance? Are we still trusting God's promises, whether we have plenty or whether we don't have enough? See, it's easy to talk about how good God is and what he'll do for us when we got plenty. But when you don't have plenty, are you still have the same attitude, still have the same happiness, still have the smile on your face? You know, it's funny, you know, you can be around some of the Christians and the faith people, and man, they talk about all that. Oh, praise God, God's so good, he's supplying all the needs, and they're dancing around happy. But then they hit a hard spot, and you see them, and they got their faces long, you know. They got such a long face, they're about to step on their bottom lip. And they're saying, oh, I don't know how I'm going to make it. That's what I'm talking about. You got to have the same attitude when everything's going bad that you had when everything was going good. And you know what? I'm not telling you that's easy to do, because it's not. It's not. I'm gonna just tell it like it is. You know me. I don't miss words. I just say it the way it is. And sometimes I get in trouble because I should be a little more diplomatic. But there's sometimes when you're talking about things that I'm talking about today, you just need to be straightforward and let people know, hey, everything is just because you're believing God, just because the promises of God say such and such, it's not going to be that easy, because the enemy is going to do everything he can to keep you from getting that. And if he can get you in an attitude where you're down, man, you're in trouble. You got to stay strong, not in your own strength, strong in the Lord. Paul, that's what Paul is talking about here. I mean, after he talked about these things, he said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. I want you to realize that comes in verse 13, and what we read there in verses 10, 11, and 12 come before he says verse 13. He's talking about not having enough. He's talking about all those things. But then he turns around and says, I can do. Why? Because he's so smart. Because he is such a learned man for the time. And he was. If you'll study, you'll find he was one of the most learned of all the Hebrews. Actually, he studied at the University of Tarsus. He sat and studied with the great Rabbi Gamaliel. They don't know for sure, but they think that he possibly at one time could have been a part of the Sanhedrin. But he does say, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. So that means he was a high echelon. He just wasn't the run of the mill Pharisee. He was high up in the chain, however you want to call it, the rank. But he said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And then I like when he gets on down there in verse 19, that same fourth chapter, and he said, my God will supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory. Now you got to take some of these and go back up and look at what he was talking about before he made these statements. See, so many times we just zero in one scripture and we don't realize that this is being said after he had talked about something else. He had talked about not having enough and so forth and so on. And yet now he goes on down here and says, my God shall supply. See, I want you to notice, even though he realizes his situation, he never changes his confession about who he was in Christ. You see, Paul was not moved by any of this stuff, anything that came. He was only moved by what God said. You see, Acts 20:24, Paul goes on to say this, but none of these things move me. Do not count my life dear to myself so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord to testify the gospel of grace of God. Then in Acts 17:28, it says, for in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own points have said, for we are also his offspring. I want you to notice he said, none of these things move me. And then I want you to notice he said, in him we live and move and have our being. You know, Paul shares one of the greatest secrets in when he says, I've learned in whatever state I am to be content, to be joyful, to be happy in the Lord, knowing that, as he said in another writing to the Corinthians, he said, these things are temporary, but the promises of God, I'm going to say it this way, I'm going to paraphrase it, but the promises of God are forever. In fact, it says, heaven and earth may pass away, but my word will never pass away. Paul had a great understanding of who he was in Christ. He wrote all of his epistles trying to get us to understand who we are in Christ. Because when you understand who you are in Christ, then everything changes. I know everybody talks about my dad and his faith walk and his love walk. But I'm going to tell you what. The most important thing that he thought that people should learn, because he said, until you understand who you are in Christ, you have no authority as a believer. Who you are in Christ was one of his main subjects. And there's Doug Jones back there. He traveled with him on the road for a long time, and Craig's not here because he's preaching somewhere else this morning, but he would be shaking his head too, because these are the ones, when you sit down and you get to talk to him in those after service places, I don't know how many are here that ever got to do that, but I tell you what, that Doug's got his hand up. That's when you really got some stuff. Of course, I grew up with it and I talked with it, but that was one of the things that he was so so intent on people getting a hold of who they are in Christ. Because he said, that's when you get a hold of who you are in Christ, that's when your love walk will work, that's when your faith works, that's when everything works, because you understand who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, what you can do because you're in Christ. I mean, that's the whole picture in a nutshell right there. You see, Paul had learned, or he had acquired, maybe we'd say it that way, to be happy wherever he was and whatever he was doing. But you know, that is not just, that's not the natural tendency for people. You ever notice that? When things are going good and we're happy, things are going bad, we're not happy, right? But we're supposed to be happy and trusting God all the time. Our happiness is not in the natural, it's over in the spiritual. We transfer it to the natural. Something on the inside working on the outside. Come on now. You know, studying Paul, you'll find out he wasn't one to sit around just thinking about this or thinking about that. He was busy working for the Lord. And that's why he goes on and talks to us about working for God. Whether you're in a fivefold ministry or in the ministry of helps, and he puts that in there. Now, he learned to be happy wherever he was at, as long as he understood he was in the will of God. See, many people think when they hit a rough spot, they're not in the will of God. Well, if that had been so with Paul, he was out of the will of God quite a bit. Go read his story. He was beaten with rods. He was left for dead. He was shipwrecked. We read it here. He didn't have enough. See, some people, they think if they hit a hard spot, that they're out of the will of God. I tell people all the time, that probably tells you that you're in the will of God, because the devil's doing everything he can to get you out. Come on. See, you have to learn to guard against being discontented. Because, you see, if the enemy can get you discontented, then he can pull you out of the blessings of God. If you're confident that God is working in your life, you'll be happy and content and rejoice in the Lord no matter what's going on around here. You know, hey, I'm here because I learned from my dad how to be strong. I learned how to be strong. When everybody was saying, you can't do it, it's never been done before. I'm talking about starting Rhema. They said, there's no Bible school like that. You're not going to have English and history and biology and English lit. No, I said, we're not going to have any of that. We are going to zero in on the Bible and the subjects that will help somebody be a minister of the gospel. That's how I started. Now, we've changed some in over the years because of all the things. But they told me that nobody's ever done this before. You can't... What makes you think you can do it? I said, because God said to. I never will forget, Lynette will remember this. Mama, Papa Goodwin are over the house. I was talking to them about Rhema and putting it all together and everything. And they ministered to me. And they said, stay with the Spirit. The letter of the law kills the Spirit. See, they were wanting me to go and to be like every other Bible school. But I had to stand strong when people were telling me it can't be done. Come on now. Do you realize when this building was built, there was not anything like it anywhere? And they said, how in the world are you going to pay for it? Right, hon? But it's here today, and you're sitting here hearing the gospel preached. But I had to stand strong when people tell me it can't be done. You're going to have to stand strong when the enemy's telling you you're not going to make it. You're going to have to stand strong. Yes, I can. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Let the weak say I'm strong. Not because of who you are, not because how smart you are, not because of your education, but because of who you are in Christ. That's what Paul said. Paul said he could do all things, or you can, he said it there, through Christ. He's telling you to be strong, be confident. He's telling you no matter where you are in your life, learn to rejoice in the Lord. And in one place here, there in Philippians, he said, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Maintaining a consistent, happy attitude, praising God, will bring you blessing. Even whenever everybody else is saying no. The enemy's screaming in your ears, no, 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 it can't happen. But you scream back, yes, it can. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Sometimes you got to get your mouth open and you got to put some, you don't say, no, you got to get up and say, ah! Come on now. Rise up. Sometimes I don't know how to say something. I just go, at the devil. I'm doing that to the devil, letting him know, hey, I am no weakling. I am somebody in Christ, and you can't take me down. That's what that means for me. Come on now. I don't know how you do it. Everybody's different. That's the way I do it. See, strong in Christ. That Amplified Classic that I read a minute ago said, I am ready for anything, equal to anything, through Him who infuses me with inner strength and self. And you know, I was reading that, and I thought about during this time that we're living in, they have been giving people infusions. Anybody heard about that? Yeah. I had one. My doctor gave me one. What was he doing? Now, what is that infusion? It's an infusion of antibodies that will help, it helps your immune system. Come on. It says here, we get an infusion. Is that what it said? So, where was that now? I got to find that where I was reading that from. We get an infusion. What is that? I'm ready for anything. Who infuses inner strength into me. What is he talking about? He's talking about, he's giving a shot to the man on the inside. To get the infusion in the natural, they can stick it here in your arm right here. Hey, it's saying here that God gives you infusion in the inner man, in the inside man. It gives that man on the inside the strength to ward off everything that's coming his direction. That's what an infusion is for. To ward off the infections that's trying to come into your body. Here we get the infusion. God says, hey, through him who infuses inner strength into me. You get the picture of what I'm talking about? Man, you ought to be excited right now. Paul had a great understanding of this. The reality of being in Christ. Who he was, what he had, and what he could do because he was in Christ. This, my dad said this, I'm going to read it. Paul's revelation of who you are in Christ and what you can have and do in Christ will change your life. Now, I give him credit for that. This time, next time, I'm going to read it for myself. Because my name is Kenneth Hagin, too. So I might as well read it. A lot of other people are reading it like it's for theirself anyway, so I don't know. Paul's revelation of who you are in Christ and what you can have and do in Christ will change your life. Paul's not saying for you to do something based on your own ability and strength. He's telling you to do something based on his ability. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. When you feel weak in the circumstances of life, just stand up and say, I'm strong. I'm strong. There's a song we use to sing. Let the weak say I'm strong. 2 Timothy 2:1, Paul talking again. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Man, I want you to notice that Paul faced all kinds of challenges and difficulties, but he said he made it through them all. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10 in the Message says, he told me, my grace is enough. It's all I need. My strength comes into its own in your weakness. That's God's strength. In your weakness, God's strength. Once I heard that, I was glad to let it happen. I quit focusing on the handicap and began to appreciate the gift. It was a case of Christ's strength moving in on my weakness. Now I take limitations in stride with good cheer. These limitations that cut me down to size, abuse, accident, opposition, bad breaks, I just let Christ take over. And so the weaker I get, the stronger I become. Hallelujah. He lived in the reality of being strong. We've got to learn to tap into this strength in our life. What makes us weak? Well, not having enough, living from paycheck to paycheck, struggling in hopelessness and floundering around in our circumstances and our situations. But I want you to know the answer is found in our confession of I'm strong in the Lord. And nothing can take me under and nothing can take me down. No circumstance, no situation, no financial handicap. I may be weak on the outside, but I'm strong on the inside. I believe as Wiggleworth said, he was 10 times stronger on the inside than he was on the outside. Come on. Once again, I'm going to quote from my dad. A lot of Christians are weak because they never really dared to confess what God's word says about them. They've never dared to confess that they are what the Bible says they are, that they are who the Bible says they are and that they have what the Bible says they have. It takes strength and being strong to stand up in the middle of all of those circumstances that I just read that Dad was talking about and confess who you are in Christ. And you say, I am strong. I can overcome every obstacle. Nothing can keep me under. Nothing can keep me down. And as I look across this congregation, I see many of you. I've known you for years. You've been in this congregation, and I've seen you struggle, but I've seen you do what I've told you to do because I've preached it before to you. I've seen you stand up in the middle of your hurt, in the middle of whatever you're going through. You've stood up and you said, I'm strong. I can do it in Christ Jesus. I can come through. There's nothing that can take me under. There's nothing that can take me down. It's about time that we all begin to learn the spiritual law of confessing who you are in Christ. F.F. Bosworth says, in Christ the Healer, a spiritual law that few recognize is that our confession rules us. It is what we confess with our lips that really dominate our inner being. Make your lips do their duty. Refuse to allow them to destroy the effectiveness of God's word. If you really believe what the Bible says about you, then confess what the Bible says about you. Everybody stand up right now. If you got your Bible, I want you to hold it. If it's on the device, hold that up too. Say this. This is my Bible. It's God's word to me. I'm who it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. I am strong in the Lord. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When I feel weak, I am strong in Christ. When I'm weak, I declare I'm strong. I am happy and confident where I am because I know God is working in my life. He's performing his promises. I'm strong in the knowledge of God's provision for me. I rejoice in the Lord because he does all things for me. He's moving in my life because I'm confessing his word. He will perform his word in my life. I am strong in the Lord. 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 Nothing can take me down. Nothing can make me stay down. I will rise above every circumstance, every situation that comes my way. Because I'm strong in the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. You got something?
Let the weak say I am strong. Let the poor say I am rich. Let the blind say I can see. It's what the Lord has done.
Can you repeat that with me? Come on, let the weak say.
Let the weak say I'm strong. Let the poor say I am rich. Let the blind say I can see. It's what the Lord has done in me.
Keep that up there on that. It says, let the blind say I can see. Hey, that's not necessarily talking about somebody that can't see in the natural. That's talking about when Satan is trying to blind your eyes. You can say, I can see what the Lord has done for me. See, that's what it's talking about. You look and you see. And it said, let the poor say I'm rich. That's talking about when you don't have enough. You say, hey, I got more than enough. That's what, really, that's what rich, go look it up. That's what rich means, really, more than enough is really what rich means. Come on now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many of you are strong in the Lord? How many of you are going to stay strong in the Lord? Let me tell you what, the enemy is going to come after you. It's after you really have a good meal that you start to relax. After you have, a lot of times after you've had a good spiritual meal, you start to relax, and man, the devil come in, whoa. You got to, when you got to rise up and say, let me know what I'm talking about. Say it again. I am strong. I am strong. I am strong in the Lord. No weapon formed against me will prosper. That's what the word says. So you say it. When something comes against you, say what the word says. That's where I got it from my dad. He always says, son, say what the word says. Say what the word says. Hallelujah. Well, did you get anything this morning? Hallelujah. Listen, if you can't rejoice with us like we've been rejoicing because of who we are in Christ, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to do so before you leave here today. Or if you know what it is, but you just know to be with Christ, but you just don't, you're just not where you should be, you need to do a prayer of rededication. Or as my dad used to say, do you have a no-so experience? And that, what he meant by what that is, that there's some people that go to church, and they've been going to church, but they don't know if they ever accepted Christ as their Savior. Anybody on any one of those three invitations, I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. Let me see your hand right now. You need Christ. You need to rededicate your life. You don't know for sure if you've ever accepted Christ, and you need that. Let me see your hand right now. Anybody in here, anybody. I want to look, make sure I see. Hallelujah to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, I don't see any hands today. But if there's one person in this place, if there's one person that should have answered this call, I pray that the precious Holy Spirit will go with them and deal with them until they stop and make the confession of the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I feel, as I was praying that, the Lord said, there's some people watching that you need to make a confession of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior of your life. Just say with me, say this with me in this congregation right now. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son Jesus. I believe he's the Son of God. I believe he died for my salvation. I confess it with my mouth. I believe it in my heart. And I thank you now that I'm a new creation in God. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, if that was you out there that are praying that, prayed that prayer with us, would you just go to your computer or your device and go to testimonies@rhema.org and let us know about it, because we want to talk to you and send you some things. So let us know about it, okay? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Well, I don't do that very often, but I felt really impressed today for you that are watching. So I did what I felt I was impressed to do. Amen. Did you know you don't have to be in this auditorium to confess, Lord? You can, through the airways, it can be done today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, who are you? Some of you got it. Who are you? Strong in the Lord. Amen.